Once again, good morning. In our last study, we began this new series that's titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ. And we began looking into his life, the life of this child of the Most High, this one who was loved before the world was, this one whose sins are paid for by the Lamb, the one who is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, this one who is God Almighty in the flesh, who fulfilled every part of the law, every commandment that we were speaking of just a moment ago. Not just the Ten Commandments, not just the First Commandment, but all of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ commands of his people. He fulfilled it perfectly for this man, just as he did all of God's people. So as we look at the life of Peter, as we looked last week and saw how he was a fisherman, and we saw how the Lord, passing by, called him, and he left everything immediately. We took a look at the three different accounts, one in Matthew, one in Mark, and one in Luke, and we stopped and took a moment in Luke because Luke gives us a very close detail of that calling, and part of that calling was the collection of fish, the catching of the fish. We considered last week that holy calling our Savior calls with the power of God, for he is God manifest in the flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. We look at the result of this power shown by those that he calls leaving all and following him. We consider on how when we first heard the gospel preached, when we first heard the words of Jesus Christ and who he is, when we first heard the words of Jesus Christ and what he has done for his people, when we first heard the words of Jesus Christ and what he is doing right now, sitting on his throne, risen from the grave. There's a lot of people that are celebrating that on this day, mixed in with bunny rabbits and chicken eggs. Foolishness. I was very reluctant at first to allow it, but I decided as a member of the community, it was probably better to do so. So I allowed the fire department to have their Easter egg hunt out here yesterday. But I thought to myself, I wonder if I'm sending a wrong message in doing so. Or should I stand the ground and say no? I ended up giving in. I didn't see any harm in that. Those people probably weren't going to go to church today anyway. And it was raising money for the volunteer fire department. So I let it go as it, and Kathy and I took off and left. But when we heard that word, the word of God preached, and we heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to our hearts, these new hearts that we have today, these hearts who believe, we remember that time when we didn't believe and how we left that behind. I heard a testimony yesterday, just a wonderful, wonderful blessing of a testimony from a brother in Christ, on how the Lord called him, and on how when he came to this very church the first time, the pastor was out in the front hugging and saying hello and being just as kind as all these other men are. And the first thing that crossed his mind was, oh no, here we go again, another one of these. That was the day heaven came down for him and touched him. Not through the man who was guiding him, you know, greeting everybody, but through the gospel that was being preached from the pulpit that the Lord has provided us with. Christ walked by and he said to that man, come, follow me. And he has been keeping that man following him ever since. No. Well, yes, me too. But I'm talking about another man. Our brother Mike Loveless shared this with me yesterday. And how he was steeped in religion. Zealous to do the work of God for the Seventh-day Adventists. But as he was going along doing these things and looking at the Word of God, looking at Jesus Christ speaking to his heart, he knew something was wrong and he had to turn away from it, so he did. And then by God's grace, one day his daughter said, "Let's go to this church." And they said, "Okay." And they came here and heard the gospel preached. You know, that's a testimony that I've heard from almost every one of you in some way or another. That's a testimony that could be mine. And how our Lord walked right by and said, "John, come follow me." And even for a while, I didn't know that's what I was doing. But yet, I did. Ask the lady sitting right there. She'll tell you. She thought I came home that very day brainwashed. "Oh no, you heard something." And then one day the Lord laid it upon her heart to feel that loneliness of sitting home on a Sunday. "All right, I'll go with you." And the Lord began to speak to her heart. That's what the power of God does to his people. That's why we speak so outwardly about free willism. Because we know that if we were left to our own free will, we'd still be back there fishing, wouldn't we? We'd still be back there looking for whatever it is we were looking for in life. Yet because of the love of God, because of the love that he has had for us since before the world began, he said, "Come, follow me," and we did. Our Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." There was also another point that was made, and I'd like to take just a little bit of a deeper look at it this morning. We're not going to have long 30, 45 minute Bible studies. I'm going to keep them short, and here's why. I want to make a short point. I want to make one point. And then after we're done with the short Bible studies, I want you to be able to go back, have fellowship, and maybe the Lord's laid something on your heart to talk to one of the others about. The other day, Bill Silva. The Lord sparks stuff in his heart all the time, and he's not ashamed to grab a hold of John and say, "Come here, look at this. I was thinking about this. What do you think about that?" And I'm so blessed. And I want that blessing for you folks. So we're going to take short Bible studies. We're not going to take long periods, but we're going to take short ones so that way we can look at one point and consider that. Now you may recall that, turn to Luke chapter 5 again, if you would, please. That's where we left off last week. You may recall that Luke gave us a more detailed look at the event of Christ calling his apostles, and one of the details was catching a great multitude of fish. Remember, he said, "Go out into the deep." And these men who had been out all night, yet they had caught nothing. So this catch was a very miraculous thing indeed, especially out in the deep. So much so that it filled both ships to the brink of almost sinking. Yeah, you know, you can catch a few fish out in the deep. I'm not saying you can't. But if you want to catch a lot of fish, anybody who's ever done any fishing will tell you, you go to the shoreline, and that's where most of them are. Yet here in the deep, our Lord shows the power of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by bringing in a multitude of fish. So many so that it would have sunk two ships if it hadn't been for the power of God holding them up. And Luke knew, Peter knew that he was in the presence of God Almighty. He knew in his heart that he was nothing before this man called Jesus. And here in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Peter reacts to this revelation that he is in the presence of God. Read verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw all the fish and the miracle of God, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We know that the account shows us that Peter left all. He left everything to follow Jesus immediately. But yet when he saw the miracle of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw the power of this man who is 100% man and 100% God, when he saw the authority, he had reverence for him. Oh my goodness. Moses, when he came in the presence of the bush, what did he do? Take off your shoes. You stand on holy ground. Moses went to the ground. He put his face into the dirt. I'm in the presence of a holy God. I'm not worthy. Peter says, "Depart from me, O Lord. I am not worthy to be in your presence. Obviously, I know who you are. You have shown this to me. You have revealed who you are to me, just as he does to each and every one of us in his word." We were talking about Harold Camping yesterday. I had the blessings of spending a little time with Mike and Shirley yesterday afternoon. And we were talking about this man over in the Bay Area who was just as crazy as could be, preaching about the end of the world in 1994. Yet Mike was very clear when he mentioned this man. He says, "But I know he's a child of God." And I totally agree with that. I believe he was a child of God, preaching the truth of God, and God allowed him for some reason to go off on those crazy things. And I don't know why. We don't know why God allows us to do certain things, do we? We don't know the path that God has for us, do we? We're going to talk about that in my message later on. But here, this man was being used to preach the truth of the gospel. And Mike heard it, which confirmed to him that this other stuff that he heard, this other, dung, forgive me if that offends anybody, but I'll say dung. This other stuff, this other religious things that you have to go do. He could see when he started hearing the truth that this is wrong. And I'm glad I left that. And he started looking for churches. When he found the truth being preached, the Lord arrested him. When he found and heard the sovereignty of God, the perfect holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy and love that he has for his people. "Oh Lord, depart from me. I am unworthy of you." And he cried. I shared with him that same thing happened to me on the road to Reading. I was in my semi. I had been going to church for maybe a month or so. I don't know how long it was. I was driving to Reading every day. I had 6 hours to listen to Harold Camping. And this was after Harold had left the foolishness of the world ending. Well, he didn't actually leave it. He just stopped pursuing it for a while because he came back to it later. But there was a time there in between those where he preached the gospel again. And the Lord was using this man to speak to my heart. And as I heard the holiness, the perfection of who God is, it convicted, it pricked my heart. I actually pulled over between Corning and Red Bluff and bawled for about a half hour over the mercy that my God has for me in revealing these things to me. Here, Peter Now remember, these are things that's leading Peter up to read about, to write about the grace of God, to write about the love of God, to write about what he has done for his elect. That's what we're going to read about when we get to the books of 1 Peter. And these are the things that Peter must experience. Just as Jonah had to experience death in the belly of the fish. Just as Jonah had to see himself delivered from death so that he could say to the Ninevites, a very nasty people, salvation is of the Lord. Yes. He had to learn that. Here, Peter saw the miracle of Christ before his very eyes. How many others saw that? How many others does it tell us here drop to their knees, drop down in the presence of God? I only see one. I only see one that the Lord reached out and pricked the heart of. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am sinful." When one has had the revelation of who Christ is, one will lower themselves as one should in the presence of the Most High. To prostrate oneself is to show reverence to this one who is God in the flesh. A reverential fear, not a fear of, oh my goodness, I'm going to be harmed, but a fear of, I do not deserve to be in the presence of one so good. This is what makes the grace of God so precious to us, isn't it? Is this not how our Lord shines his grace in our lives? When we see what we deserve, when we know who we are, and we see the mightiness of his love. Did not we all go through this very thing when we first understood who this Jesus is? Maybe not in our flesh. Maybe we didn't go through it in our flesh, but was not our spirit brought low as we heard the preaching of his word? As we heard of his grace for his people? Isaiah puts it this way in chapter 6, verse 5. He says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." John, he puts it this way in chapter 3, verse 30, he says, he, speaking of our Lord Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's the reverence that I'm talking about. Peter was experiencing that very thing. He was in the presence of God Almighty, who is man. Who are we that can stand in the presence of God, a holy God, so perfect that he can't even look on us? Yet he doesn't look on us alone, does he? He looks on the blood of his Son. The blood of love, the blood of mercy, and the blood of grace. And he sees our sins no more. Turn over to the 8th chapter of Luke, if you will, and let's consider a moment. Let's consider a moment, a point. The 8th chapter of Luke. I was going to cover 2, but that's going to bring it up a lot longer than I wanted to, so we'll just look at 1 real quick here. We see here in a story, an event. Now, when I say a story, I want to make sure you understand this is an event that actually happened. We read it as a story because it's in the book written. but it's an actual event that really happened. There were many, many witnesses to this event. This event was recorded in other places. It's an event, not just a story, but it's about Jesus Christ, who is 100% God, and yet he's also 100% man. And we're going to see a man who is in the presence of the Almighty. I was going to begin in verse 22, but let's go to verse 26, please. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans. Now they had crossed over the lake. The Lord had gone to take a nap and the winds had come up. This was the other event that I was going to take a little closer look at, but we're going to bypass that for a moment. And the Lord had, they'd gone down to the bottom of the ship and they woke the Lord up and the Lord said, "Oh, ye of little faith," and he said, "Be still." And the seas were calm. Okay, so this is right after that event. They've come to shore on the other side. And they had arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Are we not looking at a picture of ourselves at one time? We were naked. We had no righteousness of our own. We abode nakedly, and we hung out in the tombs, in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he, speaking of Christ, had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. When I read that, I think of the boils. Boils on Job's head, all the way to his feet. Leprosy, a disease that fills the whole body, rots it out. Devils were entered into him, many, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down to the steep place into the lake and were choked. Do we not see the power of God even over the devil himself, even over all the devils? Jesus Christ rules everything. Never let us forget the sovereignty of our God. And when they had fed them, and when they that had fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus, and they found the man out of whom the devils were departed. And here's what I wanted to get to. Just like Peter. Just like you and I. When the Lord commands that the light be shine in our hearts, what will happen? The light will shine in our hearts. When the Lord commanded the devils to leave this man, the devils left this man. And they were departing. And then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, and he found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in the righteousness of Christ and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by the means that he was possessed of the devils was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them. Now notice the depart and the reason for it. This is important, folks, because this is the world. Here's what the world does to Jesus Christ, sovereign ruler of everything. Here's what the world did to the one who claimed to be God in the flesh. They crucified him. Depart from us, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. They were afraid of what he had done, that they were going to take away all their power, that they were going to take away all their wealth. He was going to take away these swine. There was a great multitude of them. You know how much money the guy who owned those swine lost right there? They just went and ran right over the edge. They were gone. How dare you take away what is our high point, our free will? They were afraid of that. You're going to take away from me what's mine. Peter was, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Depart from me, for I am a sinner. These are the points that I want us to take into consideration. Points that God has laid heavy in my heart to present to you as we consider what kind of man Peter was when he sat down and penned out the grace, the love, the wonder that God has in saving his people. Amen.